I think this is a message that we could hear about once a month and still put it to good use. I know that we all have a tendency to think about things. And while the word worry is not mentioned in this passage, that's what he's talking about, thinking about things. How am I going to pay the bills? What's the doctor's report going to be? How am I going to fix my car? How am I going to find enough workers for vacation Bible school? What am I going to do next year? And we think about things an awful lot. And so this passage has to deal with that. One of the things you need to think about, by the way, and make sure it doesn't worry you, is where will you spend eternity? Amen? Can I tell you, I never, ever, and have not for years ever worried about where I will spend eternity. I know where I'm going to spend eternity because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not an experiment. That's not a possibility. That's not a good suggestion. That is a fact. Aren't you glad you called on the Lord? Amen? Now, here's what's interesting. I don't worry about eternity. How long is eternity? How do you measure it? You know, we sing about, well, that song she just played, 10,000 years. And we've been there 10,000 years. What about 100,000? What about 1,000,000? What about 10 million? When you've been in heaven 100 million years, you're just getting started. When people have been in hell, I hate to even think about it. When people have been in hell for 100 million years, they're just getting started. Aren't you glad the Lord died for our sins? Now you got to admit, you got to agree with me, that's a big deal where you're going to spend eternity. That's something you better be sure about, right? And I don't have any worries about that. I do not even think there's the most remote, distant possibility that I could be lost. I know I'm saved. I've called on the Lord. I could explain it better than that, but I won't take the time right now. If I can trust God with 100 million years, can't I trust Him with 20 or 30? Amen? I'm 65. I don't know if I'm going to live to be 100. I don't know. That's tough. By the time I get there, I won't have anything left. I'm already struggling a little bit with my energy and blood sugar and blood pressure and cholesterol and all those fun things. No, I think it'd be nice to go see the Lord before I turned 100. So 20, 30 years maybe of life left. If I can trust the Lord for the next 100 million years, can't I trust Him for 20 or 30 years? Can't you? Amen? We just sang a song, I Need Thee Every Hour. The story behind that, if I remember correctly, is that there's another song that says Day by Day. You sing it once in a while, Day by Day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. So somebody said, wait a minute. Day by day, that's not enough. I need thee every hour. And Fanny Crosby wrote that song. And every time I hear that song, I think about Darcel McCoy. Anybody know who Darcel McCoy is? Mrs. Schaefer knows. Darcel McCoy is a man who is with the Lord now. Had the most beautiful, deep, deep voice. And he would sing, I need thee every hour. Every time I hear that song, I can hear his voice in my head. So there's a passage here tonight. And I know we've been here a couple of times in the last... I've been here 7 years next month. And I know we've been in this passage a couple of times in this last 7 years. In fact, I know we were there in May of 2019. I keep lists of messages and I've looked back at that. But we're going to look at it again tonight because we need this. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. And then he explains about what. He says in verse 27, which of you by taking thought? And he talks about that a little bit. He says in verse 28, why take ye thought? He says in verse 31, therefore take no thought. That's the second time he said that. The first one was in verse 25. He says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. So the title of the message just has to be, take no thought. Amen? Take no thought. What does that mean? Philippians 4:6 says it differently. Be careful for nothing. Now, help me out a little bit before I read the passage and pray. What are the kind of things we worry about? We worry about what's going to happen, don't we? In fact, what's humorous is right now, there's kind of a little trend going around in social media. Some things talking about the danger of overthinking. Ever heard that? Overthinking. The Lord knew about that danger 2,000 years ago when he said, take no thought. You ever worried about something? You worried and you worried and you worried. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then the Lord took care of it. And you said to yourself, wow, why was I worried? And I mentioned my friend Glenn that spent half a night in the emergency room, had a $25,000 bill, died on the way there. He wasn't worried about almost dying. He wasn't worried about how badly he was hurt. He was worried about paying the bill. And I stood there next to his bed at about 1 in the morning, and he was hurting. And I said, Glenn, don't worry about the bill. God's going to do something, and you're going to hate yourself for being worried about that. And as I've told you before, a couple of months later, sure enough, here comes a hospital bill, $30,000. Somebody paid the whole thing. Took care of it. Missionary to Mexico, Matt Johnson. The connection is Doyle Johnson is his father. Doyle Johnson and Matt Johnson are out of a church in Austin, Texas. The pastor of that church is Adam Thompson. Adam Thompson is the pastor there, and one of his church members is Gene Sharp, our missionary that does sound systems and radio stations all over the world. Matt Johnson's wife had a baby. Very, very serious complications incurred in the hospital, and same thing, $30,000 medical bill. Somebody stepped up and paid it. Folks, God can do big things. But God can also do little things. Going to vacation Bible school a couple of years ago, running the bus, and could not get people to volunteer to ride the bus. I don't understand why. It's only 125 degrees out there. Why should that be a problem? And we're getting on that bus at the hottest time of the day, and the bus is 15 degrees higher than it is outside, and we're going to get in that bus and pick up these kids, and I had a hard time getting folks to volunteer, and I was worried. I was going to show up one day and not have any helpers. Every day I came, somebody came out. Amen? God provides. This morning we were thinking, I wonder if we'd have enough to eat. Oh, did we have enough to eat? Yeah. Yesterday, ladies had everything they needed. God is just good at meeting our needs. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I promise you I'll be done at 7, if not a little before. We're going to look at Matthew 6. I'm going to start in verse 24 because it really is important. It explains the therefore that we're going to see in verse 25 and in verse 34 and so on. So Matthew chapter 6, I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. Listen carefully in Matthew 6, 24. He says, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the blessing it is to be here with your people in your house, with your Bible, and with this time that we can spend a few moments. Lord, guide us, please. Pray that we would simply see what the Bible has to say and not what somebody thinks about it, but what it says. It's not a question of what we think, it's a question of what you think and what you intend for us to hear. Seems to me the message is very clear, but help us to emphasize what's important, to make it even clearer perhaps so that folks can remember it and apply it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I got to tell you something about this as you're sitting down. There's a very important verse here that you could look over if you were not careful. It is verse 32. It says, your heavenly Father knoweth. This is a message to save people. I do not understand how people today could have hope in this world. I don't think about this too much, don't talk about it too much. It's not very encouraging, but do you understand the fabric of our society is crumbling, is falling apart? I saw a video the other day in Maryland, in Montgomery County, which was right next to us there. We were in Anne Arundel County. Montgomery County is right nearby there. A bunch of people walk into a CVS and just take a bunch of stuff and walk out and don't pay for it. You've seen the pictures of the looted shelves of what's left of empty shelves in some Walmart somewhere, some store, some CVS or whatever. Folks, that's not just happening in one or two places. It's happening all over our nation. I haven't even mentioned homelessness yet. Think about that. We have a lot of that here in Phoenix. It's happening all over our nation. When we were going to school, when we were in college back in South Texas, back in the 80s, we used to go to Austin, Texas. There was nobody in Austin, Texas homeless at that time. Today, Austin is overrun. When you drive down the freeway in the median between both directions, nothing but tents as far as you can see driving up and down the freeway in Austin, Texas. In downtown Austin, same thing. Just homeless people everywhere. And I got to ask you, don't you think, can't you be realistic and realize it's not going to get better? It's going to get worse. Because without getting into grand detail, our nation has pushed God back and pushed God back and pushed God back and said, no, we don't want the Ten Commandments in our schools. Well, who'd want to teach a child, thou shalt not steal? That'd be terrible if we did that. That would be religion. We don't want religion. Going to pray in schools? Going to put the Ten Commandments up? Going to have somebody name the name of Christ? No, 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 we don't want that. And folks, when you push God back, he steps back. And he's stepping back from our nation. I'm not a doomsay kind of a person. I don't relish bad news. There are a lot of people praying for revival in our land. We should be praying for that as well. Amen? We should be doing our part. When we have Vacation Bible School here in a couple of weeks, here's what's going to happen. Some little child's going to come in here and hear about Jesus. And Jesus can change their life. And give them something other than shoplifting or homelessness or drugs or alcohol or immorality or all the things that the world has to offer. So I know my hope is not in this world. And so as we look at the passage, he's talking to some people, and the reason I emphasize verse 32 is because he says, your heavenly Father, he's talking to some people who have God as their Father. I just don't want to be unkind, but I will say, I think if you're the kind of person that just walks into a Costco or a Walmart, takes whatever you want and tries to leave with it and not pay, you probably aren't saved. You probably don't trust your Heavenly Father. You're probably trusting in yourself. I hope you're saved. If you're not saved, you can be. Amen? Bible's very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. That means me. The Bible says it plain as day. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ died to give us eternal life. And the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. It says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That means anybody. If you haven't done that, do it tonight. Amen? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please save me. I know you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior. It's just that simple. Then you got a Father in heaven. Now, I know it's Mother's Day, and I'm sorry this isn't a Mother's Day message at night. I gave you one of those this morning. But it is a day about parents and fathers. Fathers are providers, aren't they? You think God's a good father? Do you trust him? We have some fathers here tonight. Wouldn't you be offended as a father if your child kept coming to you saying, I'm worried if you're going to feed me, Dad. I'm afraid you're going to let me starve to death. Dad, I'm worried that you're not going to provide me with what I need. I'm worried you're not going to give me the clothes I need. I'm worried that you're not going to give me a place to live. No. Our Father loves us. He would go without food for you if he had to. You would go without food for your children if you had to. I would. You'd suffer for them. He did suffer for us. We have a Father in heaven. That's the foundation for the message. If you're not saved, you can't claim this message because you don't have a Father in heaven yet. He wants to be your Father. God's not your Father until you get saved. The Bible says there are some people, their father is the devil. We won't get any further into that. I'm just talking Bible. So let's just enjoy this and see two or three things here. Why shouldn't we worry? He says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. You know, when you worry, it affects your service for God. Let me rephrase that a little bit. When you don't depend on God, when you depend on yourself or your circumstances or your job or fill in the blank, the things that people trust in instead of trusting in God, by the way, the Bible calls those idols. But when you trust in something other than trusting in God, it's going to affect your service for him. I am glad that right now, even as I stand here, there are policemen patrolling our community, sheriffs, deputies, and so forth. I'm glad right now, as I stand here, that there are doctors manning the emergency room so that if someone is hurt, if they'd have been in church, they wouldn't have got hurt, by the way. Someone gets hurt, they can go there and they can get good medical treatment. I'm glad that there are people right now that are in the military, that are on duty protecting us. I do not think it is wrong. I don't think we should shut down society on Sundays, but I will tell you this. I think people ought to be in church. And somewhere along the way, you're going to hear somebody say, I can't be in church, I have to work. Perhaps. But on the other side of that coin, perhaps the reason you have to work is because you're not trusting God. I'm not trying to be unkind. I know I've seen it happen. Someone says, well, I got to make a little extra money on Sundays, and so I'm going to deliver pizza instead of going to church. I think God can give you a little extra money. I knew a situation like that, and it seems like the fellow's car kept breaking down. I kept thinking to myself, maybe if he'd come to church, his car would run better. Maybe God was trying to show him something. No, when we have a dual allegiance, when our allegiance is to material possessions, provision, the word mammon, substance, things that we need to survive, when we have a dual allegiance, it's going to affect our service for God. And if you see, there's a word here in this passage that should jump off the page at you in verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? Put God first. Oh, that's a good promise. The man that trained me, this was his life verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Pastor, I got to pay the bills. That's a thing. Pastor, I got to buy food. That's a thing. Pastor, I got to pay the rent. That's a thing. Pastor, I got to have money so that I can afford to fix my car. That's a thing. Can God give you things? My wife and I were talking about this yesterday, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but there's two kinds of people, if you just want to break them down into simple categories. There's the kind of people that give and the kind of people that take. There's the kind of people that serve, and then the kind of people that want to be served. And what you'll see is when people want to be served all the time, they'll never be happy. They always want a little more. Because they're thinking, if I had a little more, I'd be happy. And folks, a little more won't make you happy. A lot more won't make you happy. But do you know when you serve, you're happy? You want to be happy? Be a servant. Be someone who gives. That's what Jesus did. He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant. He used the word minister. It's the same exact word as the word servant. So one of the reasons we shouldn't worry, number one, is because it affects our service for God. Then the second one is kind of exciting. The reason we shouldn't worry is because it ignores the evidence. Now, I could have just said it ignores the Bible, but God picks an interesting thing here. Let's look at verse 26 with me, if you will. He says, behold the fowls of the air. Oh. Yesterday afternoon, my wife was down here at the ladies' tea, and I was doing some things around the house. And I got to admit, I really get annoyed when those birds set up camp in my roof and poop on my porch. That offends me. I don't know if you've got bird problems, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting there in the house, and I'm listening, and I hear the birds up on the roof. Coo, coo, coo. And I knew where they were. And I went out in the backyard. I'm sorry, forgive me. And I got the water hose. And I walked over to where the birds were. I knew right where they were. And I got the water hose. I've got one of those things you turn on all at once. And I turned it on and squirted it up there, and here came those two birds. Here out they came. I hope they go somewhere else. I like the birds, but not on my roof. But you know what's interesting? You can look at any bird nest in the world. You've never seen a barn connected to it, have you? Fact is, you can look at any bird nest. We used to have some birds that would build a nest in our over our light on our back porch in Maryland. Every year, faithfully, I've got pictures on my phone somewhere, they'd build a nest on the light on my back porch in Maryland, and they'd lay eggs in there, and I could stick my phone up over the edge and take a picture and see what was going on. First of all, it's just eggs. Then it's little baby birds. Then later on, they're all gone. I got lots of pictures of bird nests. Never saw a barn. Never saw a refrigerator. Never saw a cupboard. Never saw anything in there to eat. Just straw nest and little baby birds. Where do they get their food? God feeds them. Amen? I have never had a bird knock on my door and beg for food. That's silly. I never have. Birds, I guess, can starve, but I've never seen it happen. I don't know how, but God manages to feed every bird on earth. And by the way, there's a whole lot more birds than there are people. If God cares enough about a bird, doesn't he care about you? If God can feed the birds, can't he feed you? Amen? He says, look at the fowls, look at the birds, verse 26. They don't sow. You never have seen a bird out farming. They don't reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, don't you have evidence? David said, I've been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen God's seed begging for bread. God is a good provider. He may not give you a new car that's a fancy car, although he gives you some nice cars. He may not give you the biggest house. He gives us some nice houses. He may not give you the best food. He gives us some pretty good food. You may not have the newest, fanciest clothes. Who needs that, really? But you got clothes. Look how good God is. Amen? Now, I'm standing here at the age of 65 and a half, and I can look back in my life, and I can go back 64, 63, 62, 50, 40, 30, all the way back to when I was born. I have never gone without food. I never have been homeless. I never have been unable to feed my family, pay my bills. I've had some tight times, But God's always provided. So when I turn this away and look at the next 20 years, don't I think God's still going to keep trusting and taking care of me? Amen? Can I keep trusting Him? When you worry, you ignore the evidence. Stop worrying. Amen? All right, we're getting close here. Number two. It ignores the evidence. Well, we've got three, I'm sorry. It affects our service for God, number one. It ignores the evidence, number two. It doesn't do any good to worry. Look at verse 27. Which of you, anybody here, thinks they can do this, let me know. By taking thought, that's the thought, that's the subject of the evening, is worrying, thinking about it, can add one cubit to his stature. Now I will admit, I can go this way one cubit. 18 inches, not a lot. I'm not going to go this way one cubit, and none of you are either. You can think about it all you want. It doesn't change a thing. That's why suddenly the world is catching on about this overthinking thing. It doesn't do any good to worry about it. It doesn't do any good to worry about it. It is definitely useless. What if, and I believe this, and I've told you this many times, I'll say it one more. What if you realize that every time you start to think about worrying, that might be a signal you need to pray about that? Amen? In other words, instead of sitting there going, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay this bill? Maybe if I get some money from that. Maybe if I work there. Maybe if I sell this. Maybe if I do that. What if you just sat down and said, Lord, here are my needs. And it is good for us to have some occurrences in our life to where we come to the place to where we have to trust God, and then God comes through and we can say, we know God did it. You've heard my $800 story when I came to that point in December where I could not pay my bills, and I prayed quietly to nobody. My wife didn't even know the number, and a man gave me exactly $800. Wow. And then some folks were a blessing above that. And then I got hired to write some code for Y2K and made about $3,000 in about 4 weeks. And it all came from God. Take no thought. It doesn't do any good. It affects your service for God. It ignores the evidence. It doesn't do any good. Now let's just look at a couple of more things. We've got a couple of moments. He says in verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? He's going to pick a specific item here. Oh, I'll tell you the story because some of you haven't heard it. I went to church one Sunday morning in Maryland or in Utah, and I was really, 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 really discouraged. And the pastor could tell. And in fact, after the service, he came to me and said, look, you can't come to church and have a downcast spirit like that. People see it. It's not right. You can't be on the platform and be looking like you're all discouraged. And he said, what's the matter? And I was embarrassed to tell him, but most of you have heard this story. Some of you have not. But my children had a hamster. The hamster got loose. The hamster got into the clothes hamper and ate my good pants. And we didn't have a lot of money to buy pants. How am I going to tell the pastor? The reason I'm really having a bad day is because a hamster ate my pants. I didn't tell him that. But isn't that silly? Do you know right now, if you look in my closet, I got so many pants. Now, they shrank a little. It couldn't be me. But if I needed a pair of pants, God provides pants. Amen? You let little things like that get to you. He says, consider raiment. You don't worry about clothing? Let me tell you about clothing, he says. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Kind of like those birds. They don't sow, they don't reap. The lilies, they don't do anything. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon in his finest clothing didn't look as good as a lily. Does God know how to do things good? You do the best job you can of taking care of you. You can't do as good a job as God can do. Now, it's easy for me to say that. It's easy for me to preach that to you. I hope you believe that. Maybe there are some times what we need to do is just sit back and let the Lord take care of us. I'm not saying to be lazy and be just don't do anything, but I'm saying maybe we need to quit worrying and just let God do what God wants to do. Look what God can do. He can do great things. He can clothe the lilies. He can feed the birds. It says in verse 30, he can clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, here's the problem in verse 30. Here's why you worry. Here's why you take thought. Oh, ye of little faith. I'm telling you, I know you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. It's important. You're going to step into eternity and you're going to hate yourself for all those times you were worried needlessly. You just are. It's a waste of time. It doesn't do any good. It ignores the facts. It insults God. It affects your service. There's nothing good about it. Just relax and let God do what God does. That's the way to do it. I'm not saying don't do your part. There's a thing. We have a part here. That's in verse 33. God knows best. He knows where our provision comes from. He knows. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat in verse 31, what you're going to drink, where you're going to be clothed. He says in verse 32, your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And I'm almost finished. Look at verse 33 one more time. He says, but. So here's the contrast. Instead of taking thought, worrying, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get this? So on and so on. He says, here's what you need to do. Seek. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm sure you've heard this story also, but it's so important to me. I remember this fellow. He was a tremendous evangelist. His name's Don Jasmine. Big guy, tall, big, broad-shouldered fellow. Deep voice, loved to sing, wasn't that good at it, but loved to sing. And he was just starting his ministry, and he went to a lady's house, and he said he literally had nothing for dinner that night. They had no food in the house. They had eaten everything they had. There was nothing for dinner. And he thought, well, I don't know what to do, but I'll just keep on serving God. So he visited a lady in his church. Widow lady, as I understand it, and he went into the house and visited with her for a while, getting ready to leave and go home and not have dinner. And she said, hey, I have a couple of bags of groceries here that I do not need. Somebody gave me some food and I don't need it. Would you like it? What do you think? He said, yes, ma'am, that would be nice. Took the two bags of groceries home. Gave him to his wife, had a nice dinner that night. Amen? God provides. Now, he could have had a whole pantry full of food that night, and he could have not needed that lady to give him those groceries. Better said way to say it, he could have not needed God to provide for him. But you know what I think? I think God let him come to that place so he could see God work. And then tell somebody like me so I can tell you. The other story I've told you many times, and I got to tell you once again because some of you haven't heard it, and it is hilarious, is a friend I had in college named Paul. And my friend Paul said that when he was in high school that there was this kid that was a Christian, and Paul was not a Christian, and he shouldn't have been my friend, but that's another story. And Paul said, yeah, this kid, he was a stupid Christian. He didn't know anything. And he was telling us he was praying for God to put gas in his car. And he said he'd pray for God to put gas in his car. So he said, Paul said, so what we would do to play a joke on him, we'd go out and buy gas and put it in his car. He'd think God did it. Put that together. Who's the fool? Who's going out and buying gas and putting it in this guy's car? You know what happened? God put gas in his car and used a fool to do it. And the fool didn't get it 10 years later. He's saying, oh yeah, we made fun of this guy by putting gas in his car. And I guarantee you that guy was coming and saying, isn't my God great? He puts gas in my car and uses an infidel to do it. That's the way God works, folks. He'll do that for you if you'll let him. All right. So verse 34, and I'm done. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day today is the evil thereof. And here's the thought. Someone says, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill. But you know what? Today, everything's okay. Your health is okay. You got food to eat. You got your cars running. You got what you need. God's got you here. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Just enjoy today. Amen? And when you live one day at a time like that, trust God for today, and then when tomorrow gets here, I found out something. When I get to tomorrow, God will be there. And then tomorrow, He'll meet my needs. Well, Pastor, what about 10 years from now? You may not be, the Lord may come back before then. You may go to eternity before then. But isn't today really good? We're about to finish up. It's 5 till 7. I'm going to go home, maybe have a bite to eat. Don't eat too much too late. It's bad for you. Going to get some rest. Lay down, and here's what you'll be able to say tonight. God took care of me today. He provided a great day at church. He blessed the bus route. He blessed the Sunday school. He blessed our fellowship. We had a good lunch. We had a good rest. We came back to church. We heard from the Word of God. Everything was okay today. Isn't God good? Wake up tomorrow. Let's see what God does tomorrow. I don't know what He's going to do, but He's going to do something good. Amen? Take no thought. Take no thought. Don't worry. Pray. If you think you need to worry, just pray. And you'll be able to look back on your life and say, wasn't God good? Because He is good. Amen? Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank You.